Welcome back. We got a lot to talk about today. Lots of alien talk today. For 2019. Paving the way for the overlords. Surely coming to enlighten us, to evolve us into the next stage, to the next phase. We're gonna talk about aliens today. We're gonna catch up on some alien news. I'm trying to figure out how to format this show, and I thought perhaps every show I could have a little alien news corner. But I've got so much alien news that I think I gotta have a whole show about it. So if you like pop cultures and aliens, hold on to your ass. We're gonna do it. And Happy New Year, by the way. This is the first show for 2019. I was going to do a top 10 countdown from 2018 of the top 10 conspiracy Illuminati topics. But I want to add a couple. I don't know, it's not polished enough. You know what I'm saying? And I save my best for you. I'm my best for those that deserve my best, that's you. So I'm gonna work on that a bit more. I wanna add some tweaks to it. Cause I think it's gonna be perhaps an entire show in and of itself. And there's a couple email and comments I got from the Patreon supporters. Big ups to Patreon supporters that I wanna address. Now let me just do that real quick. Denali. Good comment there. Asked about what if I did another tier and provided yet an extra show for those willing to support a bit above and beyond. It's a good idea, first off. It's very kind of you. But it does play into this paradox that I've got. And the paradox is I'm serving two masters with this whole thing, with the Patreon. And I'm waiting for them to ban me so it could solve the problem for me. But no, in all reality, the problem I'm having is, on one hand, I do this research and I like sharing it with people, and there's a bit of a mission statement sort of to help wake the masses up to this big agenda. That's like one component of why I continue to do this. The other component is, how do I pay for all this? How do I pay for the continual research, the books, the hosting fees? There's a million things that go on behind the scenes. And the issue is that I used to be able to finance this through ads on YouTube and the website AdSense, but Google and YouTube have effectively banned me from their platforms. Which I know is confusing, because now I've got another YouTube channel, right? Isaac Weishaupt is the new YouTube channel. But the reason I have that is because they haven't reviewed it yet. I believe they're going to review it in the next couple months. It's this formula based on number of hours listened, number of subscribers, whatever. So they're going to review it, and I'm sure they're going to ban me again. Or maybe not. Maybe they won't. But I got to restart the whole subscriber base. I was at 73,000, I think, when they banned me. Now I'm down to 1,000 again because I just started it over. And I haven't made a lot of new videos because I don't want to put a lot of time into it. But anyways, I used to enjoy writing. I did not like podcasting. If you go back in time, you'll see I was vehemently against podcasting. I didn't like it. I prefer to write. But as the powers may be, oh boy, these dogs. Does anybody want chihuahuas? Hit me up on the email if you want two chihuahuas. They're great guard dogs. They will warn you if anything is within 3 miles of your home. They do a real good job of it. Anyways, where was I now? These dogs are rude. Wow, I totally lost it. So anyways, I used to make the revenue that way. And that's no longer an option. So Patreon's the way to do it. I have to ask you directly. I don't like it any more than you do. Trust me. But anyways, the point I'm getting at, Denali, for your wonderful idea that I appreciate. It just limits further how many people can get access to it. So right now, the way I work is I do the show, Patreon, you get a little early access, you get some bonus content here and there. But I do ultimately want everybody to get this content. Like, that's what I want inside my heart. That's what I want. And I don't know. I'm not ruling it out yet, but those are just my thoughts on it. So I just wanted to address that. And then I've had a lot of people asking me if they can support in alternate ways. They said, hey, why don't you just ditch Patreon and I'll just, you know, PayPal you the money or whatever. But the problem is, from a technicality standpoint, Patreon gives me an RSS feed, which doesn't sound like a big deal, but like, they host the content and they host it all for free for me. I mean, they get a cut of the contribution that you make as a Patreon supporter. But may I add, it's a great RSS feed. It's very responsive. I publish and it immediately in real time, you get it. Unlike iTunes that I, you know, because normally I record the show, give it to the Patreon supporters right away. They get it right away. Then I wait a few days, publish it on the free feed. But then a couple days after that, iTunes takes to populate it onto their feed. It just takes forever for some reason. Whereas Patreon is instantaneous. So I give them that much. But we are going to talk about Patreon a little bit more in depth when we get into the top 10 of 2018. That's a little teaser for you. But yeah, I wanted to address those things because I get tons of comments, tons of questions, and I can't address them all. My apologies, but I do read them all. But yeah, that's that. Anyways, how was your New Year's, by the way? Hope your New Year's was everything you hoped. Did you drink the drinks? Did you do the dancing? Did you do the things you were going to do? I hope you did. Mine was pretty uneventful. I was watching Ed McMahon videos for Mandela Effect. Which, by the way, I don't know that we've got a clear answer for yet. If you go on my Twitter feed at Illuminati Eyes, you can see there was some content I forwarded on, retweeted as it were, that McMahon, you know, lots of people said that he was with Publisher Clearinghouse, but someone had a video, an actual commercial from the other thing, American Family Insurance, which supposedly he truly worked for. And there he is, Ed McMahon, in the commercial. So, I mean, it's odd. Everyone gets it wrong. Everyone thinks Ed McMahon's handing out the big checks for Publisher Clearinghouse, but apparently it's not the case. But my dude SMQ, he said he's going to do a little workup on it, so stay tuned to him for more on that. He was on the show, the We Died in 2012 episode, very popular. Anyways, let's get into... Real quick. Podcast reviews. I've been reading them as I always do on iTunes, and big ups to everyone leaving the reviews. You're really doing it. Red Montague, JM Roanoke, Go Goners 44, Podcaster gave it a 1-star. Yeah, hey, that's fine, whatever. I told you, I said give me the goods and the bads. You take the good, you take them bad, you take them both, and there you have it. Kate and M Kate, I don't know how do you pronounce that? Kate and M. Kate, Zeri, 2112, Lizzie May, big ups to everybody. Track 1118, left a 5-star. Great review. This person, Track 1118, followed the original YouTube channel and was there for me during the infamous Richard Hoagland incident when I went on Richard Hoagland's show. And got crushed, got my soul crushed and taken from my chest. But anyways, Track 1118 had some criticisms on the Patreon subscription thing. You know, I get it. I know. Not a popular thing. I got it. I don't know what you guys want me to do. I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place. They're trying to censor me. I don't know what else I can do. But I get it. You know, I really do. I get it. There was a question about doing a one-time subscribe. Again, going back to my previous statement, Patreon gives me a private RSS feed, which, I can't do a one-time thing. It's got to be a recurring thing. Anyways, I don't want to keep going on this, but yeah, big ups, all those reviews. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And then again, if you read The Dark Path, go on Amazon.com, leave a review, please. I haven't seen one in a while. I know you're reading them. I'm seeing people getting them. A lot of people are leaving the reviews on Audible, which is also great. So, anyways, let's get into it. What you came for is the alien talk, and that's what I'm here to give you. Cannibal Corpse, have you heard of them? That's a rock band. A rock band for death metal. If you couldn't garner that from the name Cannibal Corpse, they do this like speed death metal. You can't understand what they're saying, but it's pretty angry. But the Tampa Bay Times, they had an interesting article about the guitarist Pat O'Brien from Cannibal Corpse. Quote, before Cannibal Corpse guitarist Pat O'Brien suffered an apparent break from reality last week, he warned his relatives of the rapture and that aliens have landed. The death metal mainstay, who has played with the band since 1997 and even once played in Slayer for a spell, was arrested last Monday for burglary and assaulting police as his home burnt down in Florida. Of course it's Florida. The dick of America. Of course it is. All bad things happen in Florida. All things. God is trying to wipe out the South. I don't know why. I lived down there for a while, so I can say that, right? Can I? No, not really. But yeah, so here you got a guy who supposedly had a mental breakdown, but talks about the aliens. And it harkens me back to a time, if you've ever read any of Jacques Vallée's work, he talked about this psychological component of the aliens. This sort of this mental component of it, that we're sort of making it in our brain, or we're mentally creating these aliens on some level. He wrote a ton of books about it. I certainly haven't read them all, but it's some interesting ideas. And here we see again the connection of the mind to the aliens, because if you dig deep enough into these occult teachings, you see people like Carl Jung and I don't know, all these occultists we've been talking about, they always get into this idea that contact with this dark zone done through mental work is how you make contact with these entities. It seems very clear to me that that is a piece of the puzzle, if you will. So yeah, Cannibal Corpse guitarist sees the aliens, burns his house down. Why not? Tom DeLonge, you've heard of him from Blink-182. He wrote that book. He wrote the book that I talked about in The Dark Path. What's the book called? Secret Machines. I guess there's a sequel coming out, a second version of it, or it's already out. But to me, when I read it, I feel like Peter LaVenda wrote the whole thing, to be honest. Because I read Peter LaVenda's books, a couple of them. And I don't think Tom DeLonge wrote these books. Anyway, Tom DeLonge from Blink-182. Excuse me. Oh, man, my throat's a little hoarse. I had to have me some Sam's Choice, some Sam's Cola. I know what you're thinking. But Isaac, you're a CrossFit guy, and you talk about big food, and I know, I'm a rotten human being, too. But it's still the new, you know, I call it No Judgment January, okay? It's time to clean up the diet. So you gotta purge all that nasty crap from the house that people brought over for parties or whatever. And I do enjoy some Coca-Cola and Sam's Cola, which is less than half the price. Tastes identical to it. Don't believe me, try the Pepsi Challenge. Can't tell the difference. Yeah, I'm going to get this nasty crap out of my house and get my nutrition right. Because as you know, big pharma and the food industry is definitely part of the agenda. As CrossFit guru Greg Glassman is telling us, old sensei there. Anyways, what are we talking about? Tom DeLonge, yeah. So he's got a show coming out. a TV show, as it were. He took all that money from the Back to the Stars Academy and made a TV show instead. No, I don't know. I don't know what he did with it. But he had the big, he had this big press conference where they were collecting money for To the Stars Academy. It was on Facebook Live, and he had all these shills from the government and the CIA telling you about alien craft. Nothing tangible, no real proof, because there is no real proof. I think that they, well, I say no real proof. That's, we don't have time to go down this rabbit hole, but I do believe aliens exist, right? I believe they are demonic entities channeled into our dimension. I don't think they are further evolved beings from another planet that come to visit us and bestow their knowledge upon us. Now, of course, what do I know? I've never seen the aliens. I just know from researching NASA, and I know that these, you know, government entities, these government figures that are coming out telling us like, oh yeah, we got these, we're doing some UFO research. It's probably not what we're being told, right? Why would it be? Anyways, let's go to the article here. Quote, Tom DeLonge continues to spread the good gospel of aliens and government cover-ups, this time through a new television series officially in development at TBS. According to a report by Variety, the new show titled Strange Times is based on DeLonge's graphic novel of the same name about five teenage skateboarders solving paranormal mysteries while being chased down by government agents. My love for all things paranormal and skateboarding are sometimes only superseded by my love for offensive humor, DeLonge says about the forthcoming show. This series combines them all into one. Which, you know, I think me and old Tom DeLonge would get along just fine. We have very similar interests and taste and such. I enjoyed Blink-182 while they were, you know, a thing. And, in fact, I followed him back when I started my website. Back in 2011, right after he started his website. It was a website called Strange Times back in, I think it was 2012, actually. And I think it got shut down not too long after. But anyways, I was following him back then even. But apparently this TV show, fictional series, is going to be on TBS, so let's look for that, right? You know who else has got a TV show coming out talking about aliens? Megan Fox. That's right, old Hammer Thumbs herself. She's got a new 4-episode series called Legends of the Lost. It'll be where she's exploring these mysteries from throughout history. quote, the series won't go into detail about aliens, but that's probably not for lack of trying. Last year, while promoting Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, she sat down with MTV News to talk about her supernatural beliefs. I believe in everything, Fox admitted. She went on to tell the story of her own encounter with a ghost, which poured her coffee when she was staying at a hotel. When the host called the beliefs outlandish, she responded that Bigfoot and aliens weren't so outlandish after all, said Fox. If they are a more advanced species, why would we be able to find them if they don't want to be found? Now, isn't that interesting? If they're a more advanced species, why would we be able to find them if they don't want to be found? What is she saying, and why are the mainstream channels serving this dish up to the masses? Because it's part of the agenda, folks. Making you believe not only that aliens are real, but that we need to be subservient to them, that we need to learn from them. Very upsetting. She said that she believes in UFOs 1,000%. Fox hinted that she originally envisioned a different sort of quest for her series, but that the producers discouraged it. Some of the things I'm interested in may be a bit more difficult, and the logistics would be very hard. And maybe some of the locations are dangerous, the actress told Entertainment Weekly. Does this mean her original plan was to talk about aliens and ghosts? And yeah, so there you have it. Legends of the Lost. Old Hammer Thumbs herself. She's going to be doing the investigating, which you know, we could segue over into Ghost Adventures real quick. Do we want to do that? How much time do we got left? Yeah. Yeah, we want to do that. Let's do that real quick. You know, big ups to Skinny Fresh sliding in the DMs. Patreon supporter. So, anyways, a little preface. I used to watch Ghost Adventures. Since the first episode, I've been watching it. There was a couple seasons where I kind of stopped recently. And I just out of nowhere, decided to start recording them again after Halloween, right? But I had missed season, because they're in season 17, and episode 6, I missed it by one episode on my recorder, on my DVR, because I'm an old person and I still have cable. And that is the episode that Skinny Fresh hit me up on, said, "Hey, you got to watch this, Isaac." And I looked on my DVR and I only had episode 7, 8, 9, so on, whatever. So we're talking about season 17, episode 6. They visit the Westerfield House in San Francisco. Now, what was curious about this, besides it's like this house where Anton LaVey had stayed, you know, the founder of the Church of Satan. And they had all these demonic possessions and all the people in there are very strange that hang out at this house. I guess they're renting it out to renters. But what was curious was that they interviewed Kenneth Anger, a man that I've talked about several times on this show, written about it in my books. Kenneth Anger is an occultist, a Crowley acolyte, if you will. And they interview him, and he says he confirms, Illuminati confirms that demons are necessary for the rituals. That's what he says, because they ask him about the demons, and he says, well, yeah, you gotta have them.
So, in the rituals, were you opening a portal? Were you trying to open a doorway?
Well, that's part of the ritual, to open the doorway to their parallel world that is all around us, but you have to approach it in a ritual manner if you want to connect with them.
Okay. Did you ever do any ceremonies where you were calling upon demons?
Well, demons are what you have, they're the bread and butter of ceremonies. I mean, they're the ones that do the work.
Do you ever feel like you felt them manifest at the Westerfield House?
Quite obviously, yes.
Okay. Do you think that those demonic forces are still at the Westerfield House?
Well, they're probably still hanging around, yes.
Anyways, he looks really rough. He's like 90 years old, and to listen to this guy talk, he's mentally on point still. But anyways, yeah, that was very curious element, because when I watch Mr. Zach Bagans and all these guys go through this sort of their journey, if you will, of course they start dabbling into the occult. Why not? That's the problem with all this stuff, is you start getting involved because it's interesting, and then before you know it, you're hanging out with the demons and Kenneth Anger. No, but like the point I'm about to prove here is we're going to talk about what happened to Nick Groff. If you remember, there was one of the crew there. There was three guys. It was Zach, Aaron, and Nick, and then I think Billy was a behind the scenes kind of guy. Anyways, Nick was one of the main three guys, and he left the show. And when he left, they brought in a guy named Jay Wasley. Now, if you, because I've been catching up on some of these latest episodes, it seems very clear that Jay Wasley is knowledgeable on the occult. So it leads me to ask many questions here. Why did Nick Groff leave? No one's really got a clear answer on it. I believe, I'm going to float this theory out there, and if you've seen anything that supports it, let me know. Or if you haven't, if I'm way off base, let me know, please. I'm sure there's people out there that are way bigger Ghost Adventure nerds than I. But I propose that the Ghost Adventures crew was getting a bit darker. I think they were getting into some maybe getting possessed by demons, maybe dabbling with these dark forces a bit more than they should have, and Nick wanted to bail on that. Now, if you look at the Ghost Adventures Wikipedia, it says Jay Wasley is an audio tech and member of the Ghost Adventures crew. At first, his job was to sit at the Nerve Center with Billy, but starting in season 10, he became an investigator when Nick Groff left the show. Now, the reason I am suspicious about Jay Wasley's occult connections, you know, if you watch these shows, I don't remember which one, he's whipping out these ritual books and he's opening portals to hell with these Enochian sigils. I mean, this is all stuff that's happening, especially at that Westerfield house. He definitely knows what he's talking about. I believe him to be a practitioner of these things. And if you go on his Instagram, I believe is where I found this, there's a tattoo of a pentagram with a dragon on his shoulder that he's got. I'll post the link in the show notes, IlluminatiWatcher.com. But on February 7th, 2016, he addressed this tattoo. I did a little research, and he said, "For the record, my tattoo represents the four elements, earth, wind, fire, and water, with the top representing spirit. The dragon is an open Ouroboros." So again, these are concepts that a lot of people maybe aren't familiar with. It's sort of pagan ideas, witchcraft, Wicca, with the elements, the pentagram. And the Ouroboros is, again, something that I talked about in my book, The Desert Enigma, talking about the alchemist Paulo Coelho's book. And the Ouroboros, it's a symbol, it's an ancient symbol for, you know, infinity, eternity, continual rebirth, sort of like the dark spiral, sort of. But anyways, the point is, I mean, he's got these occults, when I say occult, he's got these symbols tattooed on him, right? So he's fairly committed to this stuff. Then if you, I did a little more research, on Dread Central, he was interviewed. And he says, quote, "I've always had more than just a passing interest in the paranormal." Wasley tells us of the things that keep him going. Quote, "I love experimenting and trying new things, and Ghost Adventures gives me that platform to explore the paranormal in ways that wouldn't have been possible before. For instance, with the Bellwitch Cave, Season 10, Episode 5, I wanted to try and use sound frequencies to resonate and open up a portal. You know, try and spark some type of activity in a way that's fresh and new. I always have these ideas, man, and when I throw them out there to Zach and everybody, they're always like, yeah, do it. To have that kind of trust from them is amazing. I couldn't be happier, honestly." So there you go. I mean, he was brought onto the crew to take this a step further into the dark realm. They're on the dark path, if you will. And one more piece of supporting interview on NJ.com. Quote, "When Ghost Adventures contacted me, it just fit perfectly. When I was a child, I was into the paranormal all the way through middle school. I researched different myths and legends. I was interested in what exists in our world." So there you go. That's the Ghost Adventures stuff. And I want you to tell me what you think. Have you heard otherwise? Is Jay Wasley a Satanist? Did Nick Groff leave because he did not like the direction they were headed? Did he get out just in time? Better yet. Zach Bagans, as you know, opened up a museum? A paranormal museum down in Las Vegas. I haven't been to it yet. I'm planning on going down there and checking it out, though. But you know, you surround yourself with these things, these symbols and these energies, and if you don't have a clear head on your shoulders, it can consume you. I don't think there's anything wrong with being intrigued by these things. I mean, I think it's more interesting than, I don't know, football. But so I don't condemn anyone for being interested in these topics, obviously. That's why we talk about them all the time. I think it's the most interesting concepts. My sort of journey or hope is that people just don't lose their roots, don't get consumed by it, or start dabbling in things that will negatively affect you. That's all. Okay, alien news time. Back to alien news. We got lots to get through. Doug Green, he was a guitarist for Scott Weiland's solo band. Scott Weiland, of course, from Stone Temple Pilots. The late Scott Weiland. Doug Green, he was a guitarist in the solo effort. He had a web series about a rocker. Okay? And this is what he said. Quote, Green revealed in the interview that Scott Weiland had a drug psychosis that made him believe at times that aliens were after him. The reason I put the sci-fi in there is because Scott used to get to the point pretty much every day where the chemicals in his bloodstream would trigger some kind of psychosis every effing day. None of them were illegal. They were legal drugs, but they were prescription drugs, and he would take too many of them. At about 9 p.m. almost every day, he would start to experience some signs of psychosis. This went on for like 15 years. It went on until the day he died. I know all the drugs that he was taking, but I don't want to mention them because I don't want to get murdered by the pharmaceutical companies.
Whoa!
Big Pharma. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about Big Pharma. And he's not wrong. I don't know that Big Pharma would murder somebody, but I do know there's a lot of money at stake. And what these elitists like is money. To the point of sickness. To the point of sickness. We're going to get into this year. We're going to go on a journey, my friends. That's why you need to subscribe to the show, whichever format you like, patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher, or just sign up for the free feed on iTunes. Subscribe because I'm kicking knowledge this year. I've had it. I'm exposing the truth. But we're going to get into some of these ideas about why are these people doing this? Why don't people believe it? If I were to go on Facebook, which I don't, but if I were to go on Facebook, you've seen people sharing fake news stories. You've seen people sharing these ideas that, okay, like you've heard the urban legends about how there's a gang initiation where they drive around without the headlights on, and if someone drives and you flash your high beams at them to tell them to turn their lights on, that now the initiate needs to, you know, kill you to show they're part of the gang. Like, people believe that, and shit, maybe it's true. I don't even know if it's an urban legend, to be honest. I think it is, but anyways, the point is people believe that. The masses would probably believe that and share that on their social medias. Why is it so crazy to think that there's people out there that would kill you for ritualistic purposes, for the blood sacrifice? We're going to get into that kind of talk this year. We're going to get into it, and let's see if we can get banned, shall we? Let's see how far down the rabbit hole we can go. There's a new Alien film coming out this year. As you know, Alien Covenant was a very critical, that and Prometheus, they were both very, very telling films about the big agenda of aliens as the god. As there's a little bit of panspermia, a little bit about the aliens seeding our culture, evolving us. And I talked about this in my books, The Dark Path, talked about Alien Covenant, because there were some very interesting visual cues. But there's a new Alien film coming out this year. I don't have much on that. Just thought I'd share that. Sirius. That was a documentary by Dr. Stephen Greer. And if you recall, there was this little tiny, you know, person that they claimed was an alien. ATA, A-T-A, was the name of this thing. Well, it turns out they're claiming it was actually a small human with multiple bone defects. I mean, this thing, if you haven't seen it, it's like, I mean, it looks like it's not even a foot tall, but it's like a full sort of body with an elongated skull. Very creepy looking. Quote, the researchers were looking for what might explain the skeleton's small stature, as well as the abnormal rib count and other bone and skull oddities. Dr. Atul Butt, Dr. Butt, Another senior author of the study was brought in to assist with evaluating the genome, but Dr. Butt, the Priscilla Chan and Mark Zuckerberg Distinguished Professor and Director of the Institute for Computational Health Sciences at the University of California, San Francisco, treated the analysis as though it were for a patient. It revealed a number of mutations within the seven genes. Together, these created bone and musculoskeletal deformities like scoliosis and skeletal dysplasia known as dwarfism. So let's rewind there. What did we just say? We're talking about Dr. Butt was involved with Mark Zuckerberg. That's right. That is right. Zuckerberg donated $10 million into this big agenda of using big data to help with health research. And, you know, that's another rabbit hole we could go down. That is another big step in the agenda is mapping our data and uploading the consciousness for consciousness transfer. That's the ultimate weapon there. It's the ultimate goal by Google, 23andMe, and all that. So what's this donation we're talking about? They're basically, there's going to be a ton of data points from Facebook because people share their entire lives on Facebook, all their likes, dislikes, preferences, history, future, and Zuckerberg is going to give it to Dr. Butt, and then he's going to do medical research on this. Let's dig into Dr. Butt. Let's get into Dr. Butt. Butt lives with his wife, Jeannie Deshpande. Why do I get these weird names? You know, I talk to you guys, and I get these weird names, and I never know how to pronounce them. Surely I'm getting them wrong 100% of the time. Anyways, we'll call her Jeannie. Jeannie is a cancer biology and biotechnology entrepreneur and daughter in Menlo Park, California. As of 2018, Jeannie was the CEO of NuMedi. What's NuMedi? Well, turns out it's an artificial intelligence technology company. And guess who's a director on this AI company? Dr. Butt. So Dr. Butt, Zuckerberg, Jeannie, you can see some ties there between AI and big data. And if you go to the NuMedi AI page, it says, quote, "The patterns and correlations connecting biomedical concepts have become increasingly complex. The computing power required to quickly process huge volumes and varieties of data simply cannot be achieved via traditional data and software architectures. Artificial intelligence approaches are a natural fit to harness big data. They provide a framework to train computers to recognize patterns and sift through vast amounts of new and existing genomic and other biomedical data to unravel diverse, complex biological networks involved in disease processes." You still with me? You asleep yet? "These AI approaches can also identify subsets of patients and therapies that are likely to modulate these complex networks for each patient subgroup, blase, blase, blah." So, why are we talking about this with the aliens? Well, let's rewind a little bit. We started going down this path because Dr. Stephen Greer made a documentary called Sirius where he looked at this little alien named Atta. Now, Dr. Butt is saying, no, Atta is actually a human with many bone defects. Dr. Butt is financed by Zuckerberg, who also, there, you know, through a couple degrees of separation, there's some AI involved here. And Zuckerberg and big data, they're fueling AI. That is, that's the big thing. That's why we're talking about it now. Because we're basically all dead. Artificial intelligence has killed us all, and we're living in the Matrix, maybe, right? I don't know. It's a very curious conversation, and we're going to talk about that this year, too. I'm going to do a little research on Elon Musk, and because Joe Rogan asked him if he's an alien, and he said, yeah. And he floated the idea that maybe he is artificial intelligence. And they sent him back in time to warn us, because he's been warning us about the dangers of AI. Maybe AI will take on a false form of alien body. Deep subjects. So anyways, last topic. Lady Gaga. She's got a new show in Las Vegas. Guess what she's doing in the show? She's got an alien alter ego. Can you believe that? Can you believe it? Have you read Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic? The book I wrote about hip-hop conspiracies? That's what I'm talking about. Aliens and alter egos. And here we got another one. Lady Gaga. I think I touched on it in Dark Path too a little bit. But, quote from Daily Mail. Lady Gaga put on a captivating performance for her Las Vegas residency Enigma concert debut. The singer, 32, unveiled her latest alter ego. She transformed into a sparkling metallic alien on stage at the Park Theater in the Monte Carlo Hotel. The Born This Way star also rocked a black bodysuit, which was embellished with silver foil and giant shoulder pads. While in another look, she sported a black PVC leotard with a lime green ruffle coat. In a nod to her alter ego's alien birth, Gaga sat in a giant egg, which was suspended from the ceiling before taking to the stage to perform a high-octane dance with her little monster entourage. What do you think about that? And, you know, the residency is called Enigma, but it turns out Enigma is the name of the alien alter ego. Okay. Now, the giant egg, we saw that with not her recent album, not the Joanna album, but the one prior to that. Oh, boy. Art pop. Yes. My mind gets mushy after about 30 minutes. Sorry. There's a lot of shows that a lot of people want to do these 2-hour shows. And, I'll do it for, like, Greg Carwood, Higherside Chats, and Freeman. But, like, oh, man, 2 hours, it's hard. It's hard to keep your brain focused. So, Lady Gaga, yeah. So, on her Art Pop album, there was some egg symbolism on there. The cosmic egg, based on a painting. And she's the Venus. She's the female goddess. Which, if you haven't read, I've got an entire analysis on Lady Gaga online. If you look it up, you can find it. Type in Lady Gaga Illuminati Watcher. Should be on there, hopefully. And I'll put a link in the show notes. How's that? So Newsweek, by way of Rolling Stone, wrote, Enigma is an alien creature who meets Gaga in her stage show. The alien, who is painted as a guardian angel figure, acts as the show's narrator, guiding the show through a series of scene changes and hit songs. Enigma and Gaga both focus on the past as a way of explaining the future. Isn't that nice? Now, if you do a little research, you can find some clips of the concert, and it shows the alien actually starts out the show, and then Gaga, she drops from the sky. Again, it's the symbolism of the fallen angel. These are the same fallen angels that they believe seeded the bloodline of Cain. The fallen angels, like Lucifer, right? Do you recall back in 2017, she did the Super Bowl halftime show? She came down from the heavens. And, I did this whole analysis. We could talk about Lady Gaga for an entire show, as we probably should someday, right? But if we go back to her beginnings, where she sacrificed Lena Morgana. She was part of the blood sacrifice of Lena Morgana. If you haven't heard about Lena Morgana, you really got to go to read my article on this, or you know, look it up online. You will not believe it. In fact, she showed us how it happened in American Horror Story Hotel and her music videos. Because as you recall, she was in American Horror Story Hotel. But because Lena Morgana, she died. She fell from a building while dating this male model, which is exactly what you see in the paparazzi video. And in American Horror Story Hotel, I mean, It couldn't be any more clear. Her mom, Lena Morgana's mom, was talking about how Lady Gaga stole her soul. There's a lot to it, trust me. And in the article, I get into her ties with Marina Abramovich and her role as the Illuminati goddess, which, of course, rolled into this channeling of the alien stuff with the Enigma show that is now available in Las Vegas. So that's our time, my friends. And, you know, speaking on that Lady Gaga Super Bowl thing, Travis Scott and Maroon 5 are going to be performing in 2019. We're going to do a little, we'll do a little bit on that because Travis Scott's an interesting feller. Talked about him a few years ago. I wrote an article about him. So we can take a look at that, dig in a little deeper. But the next episode, I'm planning on doing the top 10 of 2018 with some predictions for 2019. So stay tuned for that. You know, barring some crazy incident happens between now and then. That is my next episode. I got to do a couple finishing touches because I want to make it real special for you. So, yeah, again, subscribe to the show. That's what I want you to subscribe to the show. I want you to leave a review for the show. I want you to leave a review on Amazon.com for The Dark Path. If you haven't read it yet, then you should read it first. But yeah, and then another option, go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, sign up for the free email newsletter. That's how you and I stay connected because they can ban me everywhere else. So yeah, there's your options. That's your path forward, as it were, for 2019. And stay tuned because there's going to be a whole lot more coming up this year. So as always, I want you to stay woke. Hey, did you hear that? That's the new exit. That's the new sign off. I'm going to mix it up on you a little bit. So yeah, that's the new one. I want y'all to stay woke.